RNZ Pacific News, kia ora, I'm Koroi Hawkins. Nauru's president has told the United Nations General Assembly that Taiwan should be able to participate fully in the UN and the World Health Organization. Speaking on the global pandemic response, Lionel Agnemir said Taiwan and other partners had given great support to Nauru to help it remain COVID-19 free. He urged the UN to ensure Taiwan's people enjoy the same rights as those of other nations.
The United Nations must live up to its ideals of universality and equality, respecting the worth of every individual. Taiwan is an important partner in the global response to this pandemic, and its exemplary response to the global pandemic should not be ignored. Taiwan is ready to share their experience and aspire to do so by joining the World Health Assembly.
China continues to oppose Taiwan's involvement as an equal partner at the UN or the WHO. In Fiji, 175 new cases of COVID-19 have been reported in the community and 2 cases at the border quarantine facility. This takes the total number of cases to just under 13,000. The government also confirmed 4 deaths in the last 24 hours, taking the toll to 583. There are 110 severe COVID-19 patients in hospital, 7 in critical condition. The number of new COVID-19 cases in the community in New Zealand has dropped to a single figure for the first time in weeks. There are just 9 new cases, all in Auckland, and all linked to earlier cases. There's also a new case in a recent returnee in managed isolation. The Deputy Prime Minister Grant Robertson says the numbers are encouraging.
What we do know is that there are still isolated cases, but we do feel we are getting on top of this outbreak. And it's the reason why I said we've just got to stick at it. Having come so far here, this is why we need Aucklanders to make sure they stick to the Alert Level 3 rules so that we can get those cases down even further.
Upmahoraki will drop down to Alert Level 2 from 11:59pm on Saturday, with no more cases identified in the region. An Indonesian soldier has been killed in a gunfire exchange with the West Papua Liberation Army. Fighting broke out after insurgents opened fire on soldiers guarding the airport in the Bintang Mountains Regency of Papua Province. It's the same area where an attack on a school and health clinic last week left the facilities destroyed by fire. Several health workers fled the attack, with one reportedly dying as a result. Police have blamed separatist fighters for the attack, but the Liberation Army has blamed Indonesian security forces for targeting the clinic and classroom. The Liberation Army yesterday released photos of a missing health worker who it said was found lost in the jungle. Police in Melbourne are swooping in on any potential protesters in an effort to head off rallies. People have been protesting against lockdowns and mandatory vaccines. The ABC's Nicole Asher reports.
Protesters are attempting to use encrypted messaging apps to organise, but so far they've been unsuccessful. Groups of police officers are patrolling streets around Melbourne's CBD and nearby suburbs, questioning pedestrians. Anyone who can't provide a valid reason for being on the street is being ordered to move on or arrested. Violent protests broke out early this week following pandemic restrictions placed on the construction industry, including a 2-week shutdown. Hundreds have already been arrested and some are threatening to return to the streets and parks today.
New Zealand is donating more COVID-19 vaccines to the Pacific. The Associate Health Minister and Minister for Pacific Peoples, Aupito Williams-Sio, says it will provide the Pfizer COVID vaccine to the Cook Islands, Niue and Tokelau to support vaccination of their 12 to 15-year-olds from October.
It's small numbers, but we're going to be making sure that we provide Pfizer to the numbers that they give to us. So, but my approximation would be all 3 countries, about less than 1,500.
Aupito says the Ministry of Health will also be able to offer the AstraZeneca vaccine at some point to those who cannot have the Pfizer vaccine. A targeted effort to vaccinate the Samoan community in Auckland this weekend is underway. The newly named mobile clinic, Basifica Vax, was unveiled this morning in Mangere. Dr. Serovai Fuatai is helping run the clinics, which will vaccinate about 3,000 people over the next 3 days. He says it remains a challenge to reach some members of the community.
We're working with council to try and identify and see how we can reach out to these people. I mean, a lot of them will pay rates and that kind of thing. to see whether we can do drop-offs to them and see if they've got relatives who we can engage with and have a conversation.
The bus will be open from today until Sunday. Work to bring home remaining stranded students in Solomon Islands Nationals in the Philippines is ongoing. This was confirmed by James Bosamata, Solomon's Deputy Secretary for the Ministry of Education and Human Resources Development, in a radio talkback show. Mr. Bosamata says the work is spearheaded by the COVID-19 National Oversight Committee. He says a repatriation date for the students is yet to be decided on. Cook Islands businesses are finding New Zealand's second round of lockdown much harder. Tourism makes up at least 65% of the island's GDP, and some businesses aren't sure they can make it till November, if the travel bubble even opens by then. President of the Tourism Council and hotel owner, Liana Scott, says the Cook Islands government hasn't provided as much financial support to businesses compared to last year.
The restaurants are eerily quiet. It's actually really tough, and I don't know why, but it seems tougher this time than last time. Pretty diabolical, and it's quite a scary, unknown future here in the Cooks for businesses.
She says there's a sense of urgency in getting tourists back into Rarotonga. In sports, the former All Blacks and Wallabies skills coach, Mick Byrne, has been appointed the new head coach of the Fijian Ndrua for the inaugural Super Rugby Pacific competition next year. Byrne's international coaching experience includes 2 Rugby World Cups, 5 Tri Nations titles, 5 Rugby Championships and 11 Bledisloe Cups with the All Blacks. He was the assistant skills coach for the All Blacks, the Wallabies, Japan and Scotland, as well as the assistant coach for the Auckland Blues from 2012 to 2014. Interim Ndrua Chief Executive Brian Thorburn says Byrne's credentials are globally recognised and he's a wonderful addition to Fiji Rugby's first professional Super Rugby club. The All Blacks captain Adi Savia says Waka Nathan was one of the great All Blacks. Nathan, who also played for the Māori All Blacks, has died. He was 81. The loose forward featured in the 1966 series victory over the British and Irish Lions, scoring 2 tries in the 3rd test. Savia says he never met Nathan, but he would have liked to.
He was a great All Black. You know, I think he was undefeated and never lost a test match. And he was known as the Black Panther. That was his nickname. So, you know, when someone's part of the All Black team, they're a member of the family.
The New Zealand Warriors have teamed up with Vodafone to encourage New Zealanders to get vaccinated, especially their Māori and Pacifica fan base. Warriors General Manager for Commercial, Glenn Critchley, says a high proportion of fans fit within the targeted demographic needed to be vaccinated.
For us, you know, we do have a high proportion of fans that fit within the sort of Māori Pacifica demographic, if you will. So it was a case of if we can help in that and get those messages through and I guess make people comfortable and give them another reason to go and get a vaccine, then that's only a good thing for us.
For the last 2 seasons, COVID-19 has trapped the Warriors in Australia, and Glenn Critchley says the more people get vaccinated, the sooner the boys can be playing again in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And that's sports and news from RNZ Pacific.